Derek, oh my God! The sky is falling! Please! We are officially the worst team in the National Hockey League.
No, we're not.
But Derek, the narratives. We are the Hurricanes. We're awful. We don't know how to GM. We don't know how to power play. We don't know how to penalty kill. We barely know how to hockey, Derek. We are in the middle of a massive season-long losing streak, Derek. What can we do?
I think you need to stop reading the comment sections on Facebook, for one, Mike. I think that's the biggest thing. Don't read the comments.
The comment section, Derek, are just... I mean, isn't that where it's at right now, though?
It is, and I know I'm speaking to a lot of people who listen to... obviously, speaking to people who listen to the podcast, but speaking to people that read us on Twitter, read us on various social media websiteries. But the other night, after we lost to Tampa, I was upset about that loss, and it was the first time I'd been upset about a loss all year, because the first one to Winnipeg, which we'll touch on later in the show, probably, you know, it's like, okay, we're bound to lose at some point in regulation, right? The Tampa one, I didn't love that game as much, and I was upset, and I was like, you know what? We are 4-2-1. Sure, we have some problems, but deep breath, it's a long season. We're still atop the division right now. And the number of replies were, but those special teams, though. I was like, yeah, I know they suck. The team probably knows they suck even more than we know they suck. We know, but let's just take it all in stride. Can we do that, Mike? Can we take it in stride?
As much as I had hoped for 81-0-1 this season, Derek.
Way to aim low.
Yeah,
I wanted 82-0-0, but you know.
But okay. That was going to be tough. And to... almost got the bottle mix spit take out of that one.
That was close.
It would have been a lot of fun had we done that, but we knew there was going to be some games that were going to be tough. Three games in four nights on the road: Minnesota, Winnipeg, Nashville,
or Tampa.
I'm sorry, Tampa. So when you're going against one of the prohibitive favorites in the Western Conference to play for the Stanley Cup. And then the prohibitive favorite in the East to play for the Stanley Cup. I mean, that is the right barometer, right? That is the measuring stick we're measuring ourselves against. And to be able to go in there to Winnipeg, and I think we played solidly with those guys for 58 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it was just one of those ones where too little, too late. Couldn't pull it out. I think defensively we started really starting to shore up after the first period. And then against Tampa, I felt like the team just ran out of gas. I mean, maybe too much Top Golf. Who knows?
I know where there was too much Top Golf.
Yeah, on the broadcast. Again, it was a good game, though. At least it was fun. It was enjoyable. I actually fell asleep before the end of the Tampa game, I'm going to be honest. I might have missed the third period. But when I went to sleep, it was 2-2. And I was like, hey, 20 minutes left. Maybe I'll wake up happy in the morning.
So this is on you, then, is what you're telling everyone.
Oh, this is absolutely on me.
Okay.
This one's my fault. I'm taking the L. I will take the -2 in my podcast plus minus. even though I am -2, we are still the reigning, defending, longest-running Hurricanes podcast in the world.
That's right. In the whole world. So, by the way, since you mentioned the podcast plus minus and other random, like, nerdery of stats around things that we do at the Section 328 Media Empire.
Yes.
Somebody asked Meg about, like, how often she made in each person the Cane of Uncertainty in her Hurricane watch, and if we tracked that last year, and somebody started going and scrubbing through our Facebook and seeing how many times it was posted there, and I'm like, yeah, we get most of everything on Facebook. We get most of them on Twitter, but go to our site or go through Meg's timeline and track all the Hurricane watch stuff. Well, someone didn't do that, but someone started building it for this year, and there is a public Tableau page where you can see in beautiful full-color charts how often each position, whether it's forward, defenseman, or goalie, what jersey color the person is wearing for the Cane of Uncertainty. So that's a thing.
Oh,
and I love it, because Meg's Hurricane watches are truly one of my favorite parts of every Hurricanes game day. There are layers and layers of comedy and things that are just so spot on. They're so good. And I love that people are starting to, you know, do fancy stats for the Hurricane Watch. It's fantastic.
It is great. And as we begin to kind of dive into, you know, everything that's going to be this season, one of the new things, and for those of you listening who may not have missed this during the, when we were talking about it on the 328 Twitter, Meg is openly soliciting new player nicknames, for guys, you know, I believe, we previously called Justin Falk, the Queso King, something to that effect.
We called him other things that we probably shouldn't repeat.
Right. But Mr. Workrate suggested we refer to him as Cheese Buscemi. And now I can't not see Justin Falk and see Cheese Buscemi.
It's one of those things that you go like, does that work? And then you stop and you just go, yeah.
Yeah,
it works. It does.
So if you have any nicknames that you'd like to toss out there for Canes of Uncertainty, go to @loveandhydrogen over on Twitter, or come to us, Section 328.
Hell, tag us both.
Yeah, tag us both.
The characters are free as hell on that bird machine.
And we'll make sure that the best of the bunch actually get integrated into this year's Hurricane Watch. Derek, big Hurricane Watch coming out in the morning, or maybe when folks are listening to this today, as we have a state fair game to talk about. The Colorado Nordiques are in town.
Dear God.
I mean, Joe Sakic's going to be in town tomorrow, right? Like, he might even be in town tonight.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I don't know that the entire Voltron travels with the Hurricanes when we go on the road.
Please let Rashad Jesus be in town. I love him so much.
I know you want that. It also could be fun because rumor has it Meg is also a fan of the Colorado Avalanche.
Yes. And if you have a problem with that, come at her, you cowards, because you will die a quick and painful death.
And also, read one of the pieces on her series on fandom, which has been a fantastic read and one of the smarter ongoing series we've ever hosted at 328, where she talks about why the hell can't you be a fan of two things? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of two things. Yeah. I like cheese and crackers.
Yes. You can enjoy both Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter.
Are you saying that you can have a charcuterie plate of sports fandom and not get gastric issues?
That wasn't exactly what I was going for, but sure. Why not?
Why not?
I didn't know if you were going to say that you could choose your fighter and then maybe put that on a t-shirt and put that on your body.
Damn it. See, Derek, that's why I keep you around. We'll talk about that and more. No guest this week, unfortunately. Our guest for this week, we couldn't make the timing work out. We wanted to make sure we got in an episode before the state fair game because everyone's going to have 3 hours in traffic to listen to this podcast. But Rob with the local North Carolina sled hockey championship team is actually in Denver as we speak, in a tournament, but he wanted to come on to talk about the North Carolina sled hockey casino night that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So we're going to probably do a special edition early next week, just an interview with Rob talking about casino night and sled hockey night. So lots of great things coming to you, there, He would have been on the Don Meyer Fathom Realty guest line, but there will be no guest tonight. So your guests are myself and Derek.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike.
Derek, will you hit that guest X button?
Yeah, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this, the intro song to Cheaters Never Win.
At least hashtag for now.
For now. Someone said they didn't like it. And you know what? As a podcast of the people, we might change the intro to maybe it's the techno remix of Brass Bonanza.
It's not going to be Raise Up, is it?
Nah, probably not. But you know what? For now, my name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
And this is still the Cheaters Never Win podcast. Still a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network.
Woo!
Still the reigning, defending, undefeated, multi-time podcast champion as defined by the good folks over at Sports Channel 8. And we're going to hold on to that title until those Rat Fink bastards over at the Canes cast decide to come over here and challenge us for the belts. We may have more on that later. Derek, this podcast also brought to you by Bottle Mix, the good folks over at Bottle Mix. They provide beer. We drink beer.
We do.
It's delicious.
It is. I wanted to say real quick, because I don't know how many more episodes we're going to keep using the jazzy lounge Brass Bonanza intro that we mentioned it early on when we started using it, but we have not always given credit. That music was made by Ben Reed at Ranger Rick on the Twitter machine. Thank you, Ben, for that intro music. Somebody asked a cheat mail a couple weeks ago if we'd ever be open to someone submitting music or using things like that on the podcast, and we have. We've been using Ben's music for a while as the intro, so thank you very much for that piece of music.
Yeah, Ben is basically a super genius.
And he enjoys quality brown liquor, so he is phenomenal people.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of phenomenal people, we didn't think we were going to have a guest. Initially tonight, we were going to be talking with Rob, who is part of the North Carolina Sled Hockey Championship team. We had to rearrange schedules a little bit, mostly on our behalf, to move some things around. He is playing in a tournament in Denver as we speak, so we will have Rob on next week to talk about the upcoming Sled Hockey Casino Night.
Woohoo!
But we have... And for as much hell as we like to give the guys of our Canes cast, Mike Smith and Mike Maniscalco are absolutely two of our favorite people in all of hockeydom. And Mike Maniscalco, we are lucky enough to refer to him not only as someone who helps impart wisdom upon us, but as a very good friend. But he came at us with a little bit of sauce tonight before the interview started. So we're going to go to the Don with Don Meyer from Fathom Realty guest line, and we'll let you be the judge. Is Mike Maniscalco evil?
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. Okay. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
I mean,
ladies and gentlemen, we're going to the hostel. Don Meyer with Fathom Realty guest line, and Derek, permission to treat the witness as hostile.
I have been on the line with him as we've been setting up this interview, and there's some hostility between you and him. And I don't know if it's because you're both named Mike or what's going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the greatest host in Fox Carolina Hurricanes pregame, postgame history, the one, the only, Mike Maniscalco. Mike Maniscalco, first question, what's your bench?
Oh, man, probably 150 if I'm lucky.
So that's 16
still,
ounces,
I'm
162
waiting,
times?
Hang on. I'm still waiting for Michelle McMahon to show up after that introduction. So you sure you got the right guy with those initials? Person, I should say.
You know what? Michelle McMahon is a lovely person. But she
I love
does, she
is
does
spectacular.
She does not fill a screen quite like you do.
Well, that's a pure size. Good for her. I hope she never does in that case.
Mike, speaking of filling a screen, Carolina Hurricanes fandom lost their ever-loving minds this week when the Canes finally lost a couple of games, and it's all to blame on our special teams. Mike, tell us, why should the people not be jumping off the bridge at Peace Street?
Well, for one reason, and it's one of the things that John Forsman and I have talked about at length with special teams over the years. You can't really judge a power play or a penalty kill until you get about 10, 15 games in. Now, has it been bad? Yes, it has. The team will tell you that. Rod Brindamore will tell you that. But that's why it'll come together. And the 5-on-5 is there, which if 5-on-5 chances were drying up along with the lack of production on the power play, I'd be worried. But, you know, the power play is getting good looks. They're just not getting the finish right now. So we'll see if that changes. I think when we get to the end of October and if they're still in a drought, then you can start hitting the panic button on what do you need to do with the power play.
You're around this team, I think it's fair to say, a hell of a lot more than we are. What is so different about this team? Because from an outsider's perspective, it just seems like they're a looser and more confident bunch. But what do you see when you are hanging around the team and traveling with them that is a far cry from the 17-18 squad?
Well, I think what it is, Derek, is what you nailed it on. They're a looser and more confident bunch, and they're having fun. I know that sounds weird, when people hear this team's having fun, they're having fun. And it's still a game at the end of the day. You've got to be able to make it fun. And they've got a coach who, if you make a mistake, you're not going to be stapled to the bench for the next game, game and a half. So there's this little bit of relaxation that if you make a mistake, go back out on the ice, don't do it again. But if you do, then there's going to be an issue for that. But honestly, that's it, Derek. And you kind of hit the nail on the head. They are looser. They're having a little bit more fun. And I think that that's translated with what you see. And plus, it's been a little bit more up-tempo. The guys want to play up-tempo. And it's not – I know we're looking for some huge revelation here, but really that's it. It's a coach that's got confidence in players who just lets them go out and play.
Speaking of a guy going out and playing, one of the guys we all had high hopes for was number 88, Martin Natchez, who just was not getting the minutes that a young guy may need to start getting his footing underneath of him. Was there anything specific that led to his demotion down to Charlotte, or is this simply an opportunity for him to get his game underneath of him here in North America and let him get 15, 20, 22 minutes a game?
It's two things, Mike. One, the emergence of how good Walmart, Svechnikov, and Martinuk have been as a line, taking away the minutes of the line that Martin Natchez was centering. And you've got Brock McGinn, who's going to get minutes on the penalty kill. And then on the other side, you know, you've got Valentin Zhikov, who's going to get minutes on the power play. So now you've got a center who's going to sit there and only play if that line's not going 5-on-5, 6 to 8 minutes a night. And that's not good for Martin Natchez. So they want to get him more minutes, get his confidence up, and he'll do that. He'll go down to the AHL, and I'm quite certain he'll dominate that kind of play. The other thing about Martin Natchez is away from the puck, stuff that, you know, a lot of people don't pay that much attention to. Rod Brind'Amour brought it up twice this week when asked about it. It was his play away from the puck and in the defensive zone that needed to be better, that needed to change. And they're going to give him minutes. They're going to give him a chance to correct all of that, and we'll see. And I expect him to be returned to Carolina sooner rather than later, that's for sure.
On paper going into the season, I think it's safe to say our defense was probably the strength of this team. And, you know, you could say, you know, pick a number anywhere between 4 and 10 or so. And it's fair to say our defense on paper is in that top 4 to 10. So far, the results have been very mixed. I know Mike and I were talking on the earlier part of the podcast that, you know, look, we played Winnipeg and Tampa Bay back-to-back. They're going to expose a whole heck of a lot of defenses as the season goes along. But I'd like to get your thoughts on how the defense has been this year. What have you thought of guys like Dougie Hamilton? What have you thought of Justin Faulk in a diminished role as no longer a co-captain, thankfully? But, you know, what he's done to be one of the guys on the team instead of one of two guys wearing a C awkwardly?
Well, honestly, it was Minnesota, Winnipeg back-to-back, and then 4 o'clock in the morning landing in Tampa Bay. But we're splitting hairs on that one, Derek, because I was on that trip. And, you know, at some point you're like, what city are we in? But things were fine as far as that front goes. As far as the blue line is assembled right now, everybody accepts their role. And if you take a look, the minutes have been spread pretty evenly amongst the back six. So that's kind of what I have liked about this. Nobody's looking at a diminished role, or they're not the number one guy, or the letter on the front of their sweater has changed. None of that. And if there is, they're not doing it in the moments where I can see it. So overall, I think everybody's handled it really well. And the blue line's playing exactly like we would see. Now, would I like to see a little bit more of Dougie Hamilton on the power play? Absolutely. And see him do what we saw him do in Calgary and Boston. That's one of the things I think that we're all waiting for. But overall, he's one of those guys who he's a much better defender than I think we gave him credit for. I think we just thought he was all on the offensive side of things. And he's a guy, as far as playing on the defensive side of the puck, he's been pretty good. But overall, there's really none of this, oh, where are my minutes or where are my cookies coming from? Everybody's pretty happy with the role. And this is a defensive core that's playing the way the game is played today. When they get the puck on their stick, they're looking to get it out of their zone, start transition offense, and I think it's kind of going the way that the coaching staff envisioned it.
Well, Mike, as we stand here and talk, the team's preparing for the Colorado Avalanche. The Nathan MacKinnon show is coming to town. What are going to be the keys to victory for the Carolina Hurricanes against the Colorado Nordiques and the Flying Joe Sakics?
I'm gonna start drinking some Coach Kool-Aid, but it's Rod Brindamore, so it's a little bit tastier than usual. It's just play their game and get to their game. Use their speed. That's their advantage. And make sure that they're the aggressor. Don't sit back and wait for Colorado to take over this game. Take it to the Avalanche. And if you go back to a couple of games that we've seen this team, and I'll go back to the Minnesota game, they just took it right to the wild. They just couldn't find a way to beat Devin Dubnyk. He was coming up with some big saves. But the way they took it to the wild, the way they took it to Winnipeg the next night, on the back-to-back. That's how, if they play against Colorado, they'll be fine. But that's honestly it. And, you know, timely saves out of the goaltending. I mean, that's cliche for everybody. But if they can do that, that's it. That's key.
Yeah. Mike, last one for me. For tomorrow's game against the Avalanche, which I'm sure will not be any problems, traffic to or from the game. It's going to be smooth.
No, none. Zero. Zip. Easy. So easy, Derek.
Just wanted to ask, do you have any insight on why Tuomo Ruutu's in town? Is he here to sound the siren? Is he here to impart more aged Finnish wisdom upon our two young superstar Finnish players?
I think part of it is he wants to come back to the team. He loved this area. He wants to come back. I think he wants to talk to the two young Finnish players. But he gets back to the States every now and again, and he really loved his time in Carolina. So big reason why he's here is that. So, by the way, I am playing darts in the middle of this conversation, and you're hearing somebody yell heart dart as my team lost. But I would like to point out I just hit two bulls mid-conversation that we had and didn't even change the tenor of what I was saying.
Yeah,
and John Chase and Shane Willis have just beat us, so I kept hiding the fact Shane Willis is here because I didn't want Mike Flanagan to go, can you pass the phone to Shane? Because he turned us down.
Well, we wanted to be able to tag a Twitter account when we talk about the podcast. So
well, that, and you
just
could have passed
my account and say that you're talking to Shane. It's the same thing.
We could have handed the phone to John Chase, but I don't think we have enough time for all of the antibacterial stuff that would have to happen there. So, no, Mike, you are a scholar and a gentleman, sir. Thank you for joining us. We do appreciate it. You are our number one favorite guest of all time. And
No. We
wish we could quit you, but we can't.
Well, don't worry about that. I'm sure one day it'll happen for all of us.
Nah, never.
By the way, if Michelle McMahon is listening, she's the best. I miss Mish. I hope that she's living it up in Chicago.
Mish. I don't know who you're talking about. Anyway, Mike.
she went to some school that can't win a rivalry game. So
there it is. Shot across the bow.
Wow.
Excellent. Wow. Well, thanks for listening to the Big Ten podcast featuring Mike Maniscalco. Mike, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. Go back and go buy some beers. Go buy some beers for Shane Willis.
The good thing about Michelle though, she went to a school where her coach actually owns when he makes a mistake. So
there it is.
Wow. Right, shots fired.
Shots fired. We'll see you tomorrow, Mikey.
Did we lose connection? Did we lose Derek? I think we lost Derek. No. Where's Derek?
I'm still standing. I'm still strong.
Boys, always appreciate it. You're the best. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon. Mike Maniscalco. Literally, I do not want to pump up his ego because if his head gets any bigger, they'll have to start custom making lenses.
Wow.
Right?
That's rude.
I know. No, love Mike Maniscalco. Thanks for that. Great insight. I did want to ask him if he were able to choose his fighter, who would he choose? Fur Daddy or Fogue Daddy? Derek, I present that question to you. You were standing at the hockey video game of life, Mortal Hockey, we'll call it, and you get to choose your fighter, Fur Daddy or Fogue Daddy. Who are you choosing and why?
I like the youth. Again, youthful. They're both so much younger than I am. I like the youthful exuberance and tenacity that Warren Fogel brings to the table. However, Michael Furland has gone through his whole life having to tell everybody that they spelled his first name wrong. And that kind of, that builds a man's character. Also, he is a stout individual.
Not only is he a stout individual, he was prepared to climb over the glass, step skate first on Wade Minter's bald head and go into the other penalty box to fight Pernell Carl Subban. I'm okay with that. When it comes to picking a fighter, you are correct. The correct answer is you pick one of the two. You could pick one of the two over at section328.com. Get your Choose Your Fighter Fur Daddy or Foam Daddy shirt. I love them. It's the newest merch, and it's awesome.
It's our pinned tweet right now, so if you go to section_328 on the Twitter machine. Mike, you want to respect the underscore?
I got
to
respect it.
Go check out the pinned tweet. Check out the shirt. Buy the shirt. It's a comfortable shirt.
Yeah, we are not going to lie. We're pretty proud of that design. Thank you to those who were within the 328 organization. I believe that was Canalytics' initial idea and Jack Spencer's execution. So thank you guys for pulling all of that together. Derek, let's hit this real quick. It's going to be an abbreviated version tonight. The Tampa game.
We touched on it. I was most surprised by the one Tyler Johnson goal where Slavin really missed a back check. I know he was gassed at that point, but even when gassed, that was kind of out of character for Slavin. All in all, Tampa's a really good team, and that was at the end of a road trip against three really good teams, so I'm not too upset. Again, we're 4-2-1. We have 9 points. We're at the top of the division. That game disappointed me, and it was kind of nice to be disappointed, if that makes any sense, because the wave of emotions that have been overwhelmingly positive around this Canes team this year has been so nice that it was good to be brought back down so then I can enjoy the wins again versus being broken after game four.
It was everything I expected the Tampa game to be, right? It was the end of the three games in four nights, third period, a little bit gassed. Tyler Johnson did Tyler Johnson things to us. I was more disappointed in the Winnipeg game. That was a game we had a chance to win. Mm-hmm. And just again, if for anybody who may have seen the Royal Road article that Pat Clark wrote over on section328.com this week, really highlighting where the Canes' defensive deficiencies have been so far this season, and it has been that crossing the Royal Road pass. I believe 18 of the 20 goals that have been scored on the Carolina Hurricanes have crossed that Royal Road in some form or fashion, and that's a recipe for disaster once teams figure that out.
So I hadn't heard the term Royal Road before that article that Pat wrote, and he also talks about why the power play has struggled for the Canes, the penalty kill, and with the larger defense. And I feel like anytime you can combine Pat's knowledge of hockey with things that he has read from other smart hockey people like Kat Silverman, it's going to be informative. And it really was. I was unfamiliar with the term, but it kind of makes sense. I saw someone on Reddit asked, you know, how is the Royal Road different from just being in the slot as far as a shooter? And it's a little bit different. And I think Pat said he was going to go into some detail, and I don't want to mess things up because I don't know hockey well enough to answer that question.
Yeah. I think the idea of, you know, coming down the slot versus a slot, a shot crossing the Royal Road. The Royal Road is more of a goaltender focused area versus a shooter focused area.
Okay. Look at you there.
Yeah. I mean,
them pants are fancy,
but again, Kat Silverman detail. Kat being one of the smartest goalie people we've ever had the chance to meet and or talk to.
Yes.
It kind of makes sense. So if you haven't read that article, go over to section328.com. Check it out. So it'll be interesting to see, Derek. Let's go ahead and move forward to Saturday or today's game versus the Colorado Avalanche. One of my favorite days of the year. Maybe Joe Sakic's going to be sitting right above section 328, and I will be pining for him and his beautiful head of hair.
Hey, Joe down here. Joe, just look at me. Hey, Joe.
I love you. Other, you know, players that we covet. I mean, Pat covets the Tyson Jost, the Powder Jost man. I believe everybody in the league covets Nathan McKinnon. And they still have some guy on their team named Gabriel Landeskog, who rumor has it is still good at the hockey.
It's really funny that you overlooked the second best player on their team.
Who would that be?
Mika Rantanen.
Who? I'm kidding. Mika. Karanen is the real deal. He scares me.
He is very good.
He is of the goods, yeah. So I think Mike Maniscalco talked about it during the interview, and it's right. We cannot play their game, but I think our game may be their game. I think it's going to be a matter of who can dictate play, and I think it's going to be the back end that's going to have the biggest impact tomorrow during this game, because I think front for front, the stall line is going to shut down whoever they play against. The Aho line is going to go goal line to goal line with whoever they're playing against. But the back end, that back six, our back six is so superior to the back six that's playing there in Colorado. I think we have we have to take advantage of that. We need to see some scoring from the back end tomorrow. Dougie Hamilton needs to get a goal tomorrow.
That'd be so good.
I think we just need to see that sort of focus. I think the back end is going to be the difference tomorrow, Derek.
I hope you're right. I will not be in attendance. Please yell for me, but I'll be watching from home.
I will. I'm assuming because there is a foosball game you are interested in.
Well, I only have a half season this year, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, damn one-year-old.
Oh, yeah, one-year-olds. You put him in a pocket. Bring her to the game. She'll be fine. Derek.
Yes, Michael.
Question for you.
Uh-huh.
The Carolina Hurricanes made changes this week. We talked with them about Mike, the Natchez and Fleury both going down to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter basically exploded on itself in negative. The kid just scored his first goal.
Wait. That doesn't sound like the Twitter I know and love.
Yeah, I know. What's your take? Not on Natchez, because we've already talked about him with Mike, and I think we kind of all agree that that's the case. What's your take on Hayden Fleury?
The exact same, except for the fact that he doesn't need to adjust to the North American game. I think there is very little value in Hayden Fleury being the seventh defenseman. I don't want to go back to when a Klaas Dahlbeck or what other warm body we had as a roster player, but I think someone who is more experienced than Hayden Fleury. Because I think Fleury is still only 21, 22 years old maybe, but if you have kind of that journeyman guy who's 25 to 30 years old or so and has been in the NHL and is more used to playing that 6-7 role where he may play 9 minutes a night or he may play 0 minutes a night because he's up in the press box. I think the seventh defenseman role is better suited to someone like that than it is someone like Hayden Fleury, who could really benefit from being the guy in the AHL where he's playing 22, 23 minutes a night. The other thing is, this could only be for a handful of games, more so for Fleury than it could be for Natchez. I could see Natchez being down there for a little while to get that experience that Maniscalco talked about. I could see Fleury go down there because he has sat on the bench or been in the press box for more games than he hasn't. Go down to Charlotte, play 20 minutes for a couple games, come back up. There's also the pipe dream thing that...
Talk to me. That's where I was getting ready to go.
That Pierre LeBrun has talked about of, hey, if Willie Nylander doesn't sign in Toronto and there's a deal to be made, who is dealing from a position of strength when it comes to quantity of quality NHL defensemen more than the Hurricanes? There are only a few teams that can be in that discussion. And he threw out the name that Toronto's around Brett Pesce. Well, if we're going to get rid of Pesce, you want to get Fleury up to speed more than the press box does. So maybe if there's a trade in place, I don't know. I don't think that trade's going to happen any more than I think the Mitch Marner for Drew Doughty trade was going to happen last year, Mike. Your thoughts?
Marner for Doughty is still going to happen. Look at the absolute dumpster fire that's happening in Los Angeles right now. I just hope we make the Nylander for Doughty trade, the Nylander for Pesce trade, before they can pull off Marner for Doughty.
Someone apparently on the Leafs subreddit, because if anyone knows from reading HF boards back in the past that the Leafs subforum has always been a place for rational thought and discourse understanding what players want and all that. And
they want to play in Toronto for $0.
Yeah, just being very level-headed. There was one thing that said Hamilton, Teravainen plus for Nylander.
Yeah, that's...
I know weed is legal in Canada now. But damn, like, don't start with the best stuff. Don't have your first sip of bourbon be Pappy.
Yeah, no, don't be like, I think I'm going to get high. Oh, there's Snoop Dogg. Let me see what he suggests.
Right? No. You start with the PBR of weed,
you
sir.
Don't start with the sticky icky ooey.
No.
No. So yeah, that's Derek. I was right there with you that, you know, with the potential. And again, I think there is potential for a move to be made because Toronto is playing so well that they would like to bolster themselves now, because defensemen do not get cheaper as the year goes on.
I know.
They are going to get more expensive. So that could be a very interesting trade. Brett Pesce has played well this season, moving. Hayden Fleury into his spot, based upon what we've seen to Hayden, may not be a huge downgrade, but Willie Nylander would be a huge upgrade for the front half of this offense. So I'm with you, Derek. I think this has as much to do with proximity as it does anything, because the Canes have a weird schedule right now too, right? We played on Tuesday. We have one game on Sunday, and then Saturday, and then we don't have another game till like Thursday or Friday. So
yeah.
So we play like three games in 12 days. So there's plenty of time for them to be in Charlotte to get a few games under their belt. So I'm right there with you, Derek. Again, we promised to be a little bit shorter tonight. Let's go to the cheat mail. Open it up.
No, we're not doing.
I was going to let you start singing.
Oh God, no one wants that.
cheat mail. Got to go get some cheat mail. Boop. Hit me with a question, Derek.
All right. This comes to us from our buddy Al Hood at Al B Hood. And we hope Al be feeling better. What's your opinion on the Fanatics jersey? I know last year your first impression was, quote, woof. Just wondering if you had seen them on people, spoken to others, etc., for a different opinion.
Seen them, still don't love them, have not purchased one as of yet. Just don't like what looks like something that is not going to wear well over years. If I buy a jersey, I need it to last for 7 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Fanatics jerseys are going to do that. Just my opinion.
Yeah, and seeing them, the logos don't look as atrocious, but they still have that kind of like puffy sticker on a Trapper Keeper effect to them that I don't like.
Derek, here's one. Felt Natchos line was this one actually is from Harry Kreider at Harry Kreider 5 over on the Twitters. He felt like the Natchos line was beginning to gel. Hope at end of season move isn't second guessed. Why Bishop over Wah?
I would imagine it's because kind of the thing of they think more of Wah. And right now, more minutes is more important for Waugh than it is for Bishop.
I absolutely agree. I think this is a matter of you need to bring up a guy who is prepared to play fourth-line role, fourth-line minutes. Mm-hmm. I do not think Nicolas Waugh is a fourth-line center, so bring up a guy who is a fourth-line center, and that is Clark Bishop. He is also of the girth.
Yeah, much better than like what used to happen of bring up a guy from Charlotte in a Zach Boychuk mold who is a lighter, more finessed, speedy player. Don't put that guy in a fourth line role. That's not putting anyone in a position to succeed. Next question, as I desperately need to clear my throat here and take a sip of beer. You know what? Let's go to the F Mary Kills.
Ooh.
This is from Jason Mary Halloweeny, Jason Mariani on the Twitters. F Mary Kill, getting Tuomo Ruutu back on the team, making a trade for Nylander, trading away Justin Faulk.
Simple. I'm killing getting Tuomo Ruutu back on this team. As much as I love Frank and Ruutu,
that's the right answer.
Last time he was here, his hips creaked worse than Hal Gill's, and there's no way he could keep up with the speed of this team, let alone the rest of the National Hockey League. I'm going to marry making a trade for Willie Nylander, and I'm going to F trading away Justin Faulk, because while there are some days I may be good with it, some days I may not be good with it. In the end, I still think it may not be bad.
That's actually the correct answer. Good
Thank
job,
you,
Mike.
Sir. This one from Carson Brewer at Carson_Brewer, still respecting the underscore. Assuming both would sign extensions, would you rather trade Faulk for Duchesne or Pesce for Nylander?
Pesce for Nylander. I think Nylander has the bigger offensive upside between he and Duchesne. And that's really where I go with that. He's younger.
We also have much more depth at defense. So by trading away Pesci, who's under a longer term contract, you've got guys like Fleury, and then you still have guys like McEwen and Bean and Fox and all of these other guys out there who are going to be coming up to fill roles. So I go for the younger guy of the two. As much as I love the idea of Matt Duchene, I think Nylander has a better overall run for us. Let's see if we have any more here.
I got a good one for you, Mike. This is from Andy Wagner at Angus Wagner.
That's where I was going. Which, this is the last cheat mail, because this is the cheat mail to end all cheat mail.
Which is higher on the hockey hierarchy, pickup truck character or horse work ethic?
Hurricanes Twitter exploded this week when Tripp Tracy on a broadcast said the reason the team's playing better is because the team player parking lot is full of more pickup trucks, and pickup trucks equal hockey character. If anybody knows hockey character, it is former Harvard goaltender Tripp Tracy. Derek, the correct answer is, and will be for the rest of time, pickup truck character is what it wins. It's not offense. It's not defense. It's not goaltending. It is pickup truck character that wins Stanley Cups. We need to get on that t-shirt, by the way.
I hate all of it. I hate both of them. I truly hate both of them. I think pickup truck character is better, only because horses are best known for working 2 minutes at a time.
Ah, good point. Good point. Derek.
Also, if we could again compliment Meg on her fabulous hurricane watches, if we could tone down the comparisons between Jordan Stahl and a horse before they get to really uncomfortable territory, that'd be awesome.
Woof. Speaking of things that only go 2 minutes at a time, why don't you tell folks about that lovely beer you're drinking from Bottle Mix?
I take longer than 2 minutes to drink a 16-ounce beer, especially one that's the quality.
Not if I steal it.
Well, okay. Go ahead, you jerk. Especially one of the quality of Birdsong Brewing's Wake Up Porter. It's a coffee vanilla porter brewed in Charlotte.
We're back to dark beers.
We're getting back to dark beers. I didn't go all the way into like Imperial Stouts because it's not that time yet for me. It's always time for Imperial Stouts for Mike, but it's supposed to be cooler this week. So when I was in Bottle Mix, Bruce and I talked, and we're like, hey, boy, let's talk about this coffee porter from Birdsong because it's really good stuff. I'm not going to say it passes with flying colors, the Mike Flanagan light test. You can still see a little light, particularly around the edges of the beer.
Yeah,
so,
but no, that passes. But as the guy who is the Mike Flanagan in the Mike Flanagan light test, I will pass that beer.
Well, there you go. Certified. Passes the Mike Flanagan light test. Yeah. As soon as you crack this beer open, you smell two things. You smell coffee and you smell vanilla. But it's not like a cloyingly sweet vanilla. The coffee has a nice deep roast to it. And it tastes just like that. This beer is not the highest in alcohol, too, which is really nice for right now. It's 5.8%. And it's that good, like, transition into fall, cooler nights kind of time. It's just, it's really delicious. Highly recommend it. A 16-ounce beer of this is, you know, like a couple bucks-ish at Bottle Mix. What I really want to let you guys know about Bottle Mix, we always talk about where they're located, and you know by now where they are on Creedmoor Road. But next Saturday, October 27th, is their 6th anniversary celebration.
Ooh.
They've been open for 6 years now, which is no small feat. They're going to have all kinds of sales going all day. They're like doubling at least their wine discounts. They're doing 20% off cases of wine. They're going to have some really good stuff in the wine machine. So if you want to get good glasses of wine, you can do that. And they're going to have all kinds of awesome events and tastings going on all day. They're cracking open this like rare beer cellar that they have and putting 200 or so bottles of rare beer on sale at 10 a.m. when they open. They're having a multiple tastings during the day. Food's going to be provided. And then they're selling off the opportunity or raffling off the opportunity to buy some rare, like really rare bottles, like bourbon barrel age sexual chocolate.
Ooh.
So yeah, next Saturday, I'll probably talk about it on the next podcast, but October 27th, go to Bottle Mix for all your wine and beer. It's going to be a heck of a day.
Yeah, the folks at Bottle Mix have been just so good to us for the last 2 years. We appreciate all of you guys who listen to this podcast, going by Bottle Mix, looking for the Section 328 Beer of the Week placard, or even better yet, talking to all of the folks there who work at Bottle Mix and saying, hey, I heard about you guys on the podcast. Really want to come in and buy some good beers to tailgate with. Derek, it's that time of year where I'm going to go in and I'm going to go buy some nice Russian Imperials.
There you go.
Find me a couple of 13, 13.5%, maybe go crack a couple of, I think it's Sunday. Sunday is supposed to be a high of 59. I'm thinking about sitting on the back patio, cracking a couple even more Jesus, pouring
a
them.
Couple.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what Sunday's like around the worldwide headquarters here, particularly after we beat the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday and Joe Sakic comes down and asks me to hold him to take away the sad feelings.
And I'm still waiting on someone to send us a picture of them drinking something they bought at Bottle Mix in the house they just bought from Dawn. First person to do that. I'm going all out.
Yeah, we will do stuff and things. So, everyone, we appreciate your guys listening to this episode. We appreciate you going to section328.com, reading Meg's Hurricane Watch, the great articles by Pat, everything that everybody does over there, including the stuff from Emily and Hannah and Mr. Workgreat, Tom, and Canalytics, and even when Derek and I get a randomly right shit. But no, thank you guys for all of that. We're on the Twitters. We're on the Instagrams. You can check out all of the merch over on Amazon, amazon.com/section328.
It's not that exactly. I'm going to work on the link, but we're going to have this link up there that has all of the hockey books we love, the tailgating gear we love, and all of our merch in one convenient place.
There you go. So, folks, hopefully you've made your way into the parking lot of the PNC Arena and you haven't gotten stuck in State Fair traffic. I love the fact that we're having a State Fair game, Derek, because it means we weren't on the road for 2 weeks and this team is off to a good start. Folks, thanks for listening. Until next time, my name's Mike.
I'm still Derek.
And we're trading for Willie Nylander. We're out of here.
Bye.